Good morning. Sorry for the slight delay. Had a few technical issues that aren't 100% resolved yet, but we're going to do the best to get through this and show you everything that we have today. My name is Jim Dempsey. I'm a program manager with Microsoft, specifically in the Enterprise Client Management Group, responsible for Configuration Manager and Windows Intune. Today's session is on infrastructure deployment for mobile device management using Configuration Manager and Windows Intune. And just wanted to point out that there are actually four different sessions on what we call unified device management this week. So unified device management basically referring to the notion of having a single way to manage your on-premise desktop PCs and your cloud-connected mobile devices. So first session is this one here, which again is just kind of the infrastructure setup. So this is just going to be simply, you know, how do I go about getting an Intune subscription? What are the external prerequisites that I need to configure? And then how do I go about configuring that subscription within the Configuration Manager console so that they're all connected? And then I'll kind of wrap up with showing enrollment of a device in that environment and pointing out a couple of things in that space. This afternoon at 1:30, there's another session on settings and enrollment. So that'll go through more detailed how do you enroll devices on different platforms, so iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows, etc. And then it'll go through kind of all the detailed how do you manage settings on those devices. Tomorrow morning at 8:30, there's a session on application management. So that's how do you manage your applications for these mobile devices. And then there's a new session that we're doing this week on Wednesday at 10:15, which is all about corporate data protection. So how do you manage the data that's flowing in and out of those devices to make sure that you keep your corporate assets secure? So the objectives of this session, as I said, just kind of, I'll kick it off just kind of talking a little bit about what our platform support is in the current release, but really just want you to understand what all the prerequisites and requirements are for setting up unified device management, and then walking you through the steps to actually do that setup. All right, so those are all the things that I'm going to cover. I'm assuming that most of you have seen these slides already, kind of talking about our people-centric IT vision. This session falls within the mobile device management category. And this is our mission statement, right? We're facing the challenges in keeping users productive while protecting company information. So what we want, right, we've got our users. The users want to be able to use their mobile devices. They want to use the devices that they choose, right? A lot of BYOD scenarios or choose your own device scenarios, right? They want to use the things that they're most comfortable with and familiar with in their everyday life. On those devices, they have many, many different applications. The challenge is how do we manage those applications across platforms, right? You've got, again, all the different platforms that are kind of different user experiences, but we want to be able to manage those in a consistent manner. And then finally, we've got all of our data that's associated with those applications. How do you keep that corporate data secure and protect your intellectual property for your corporation, right? And this is the reality, right? All of this stuff kind of comes together in a big mixed up fashion, and it becomes very challenging to manage. So what do we want to do as Microsoft and the solutions that we're delivering today? Well, we want to unify the environment. We want to enable end users for self-productivity, and we want to protect that data. All right. So I'm just going to jump through that. When we look at mobile device management solutions from Microsoft, we have kind of two options. On the right side, we have the Windows Intune standalone solution, which is intended really for smaller organizations, a few thousand users or devices, not large-scale enterprises. On the left side, you see this unified device management, where you're combining Configuration Manager with Windows Intune so that you can manage your entire environment holistically from a single pane of glass. And this single pane of glass comes in the form of the Configuration Manager console. So as an administrator familiar with managing your on-prem PCs through Configuration Manager, you use the exact same Configuration Manager console to manage mobile devices as well. Configuration Manager will handle managing all of the on-premise PCs, while Windows Intune, Configuration Manager will communicate with Windows Intune so that Windows Intune will manage all of your cloud-connected devices. Essentially, you're using the tools to manage the devices where they live. And I kind of just touched on that. So let me talk about platform support. This is within the R2 version of System Center 2012 R2 Configuration Manager. So the items in white are platforms that we already supported in Service Pack 1. I don't know that we had a lot of customers using Intune with Service Pack 1 of Configuration Manager, but the items listed in green or yellow, depending on how good your color vision is, those are items that have been added in the R2 release. So you'll see that R2 adds support for Windows Phone 8.1. This is coming in the form of our extensions for Windows Intune. If you've been to other sessions, you've probably heard about that. It's actually in the process of being deployed out to existing tenants today. So if you go sign up for a brand new subscription, you'll actually get the Windows Phone 8.1 extension immediately. If you have an existing tenant, we're in the process of rolling that out, and by the end of this month, everyone should have received it. We also deployed support for iOS 7 settings. That, again, came in the form of an extension for Windows Intune. And I can talk a little bit about that when I get into the demos and go through the console. Additionally, Android support. So in SP1, we only supported Android through EAS, through Exchange Active Sync. In R2, we actually added native agent support. And this is specifically for Android 4.0 and above. And then on the Windows 8.1 front, both x86, x64, as well as RT, we have support. We have the OMADM agent actually built into the operating system so that you can manage that as a mobile device through Windows Intune. Then we also, for the Windows x86 and x64, have the full Configuration Manager client. So you have options there on how you want to manage those. On the right-hand side, again, listing of kind of all the features that we have available for mobile device management. The ones in green, again, are new to R2. And I'm not going to spend a bunch of time going through all of these because the other sessions that we have this week will go into deep each one of those. So, seems like the mic keeps cutting out. Excuse me for a moment. So what is the user experience or interaction like on these devices? So I already talked a little bit about Windows 8.1 and the fact that we have both the full Configuration Manager as well as the OMADM agent. And then from a user experience perspective, when you have the Configuration Manager client deployed, your user is going to interact through Software Center, the application catalog website, potentially, if you have that configured. And then we also have available on the Download Center, we have the Configuration Manager Company Portal app. That Company Portal app was provided to give kind of a similar experience to what you would have with the other mobile devices. Same look and feel of that company portal, self-service portal for users. And then on the OMADM side, you only have the Intune Company Portal app. So, new things added down below. I'll just touch on iOS. We have native iOS Company Portal app now instead of having to go through the web portal. And then on Android, as I said, we've got the native agent. And that's actually also the way that you go about enrolling, is that you get you download the Company Portal app from the store, and then you would do your enrollment through that Company Portal app. So just quickly go through the overall process of setting up Unified Device Management. The first thing that you're going to need to do is set up your Windows Intune account. Then once you've done that, the next items are actually kind of all actually the first five items are all outside of the Configuration Manager console, you'll notice. So once you've set up that Intune account, then the next thing you're going to do is add public DNS details. This is so that when the user goes to authenticate, they can authenticate with, you know, for example, their email address, something that's familiar to them, those standard credentials that they use for logging into other services. Then after you've added the public DNS information, you're going to verify the UPNs for those users in your Active Directory, for on-premise Active Directory. And the reason for that is that that's how we correlate the on-prem user identity with the cloud user identity, is through that user principal name. Then, optionally, you might set up Active Directory Federation services. This is how you would get single sign-on capabilities for authentication. Then the next thing you would do is set up directory synchronization. This is, again, to just kind of replicate your on-premise user information up into Windows Azure AD. And then finally, once all of those prerequisites are done, then we jump into the Configuration Manager console, and we configure the Intune subscription within Configuration Manager. So to create the Windows Intune account, there's a couple of ways that this can be done. If you're a volume license customer, you can do that through your volume license channel. Work with your standard licensing folks to get that set up for you. Alternatively, you can also go out to windowsintune.com and you can create a subscription from there. There's options for trial accounts, as well as you can purchase an account in that manner. After you've created the subscription, then the next thing that you're going to do is log into the Intune account portal, which is account.manage.microsoft.com, and that's where you're going to be able to configure things like your public domain information. You're going to be able to manage user accounts, online user accounts, and so forth. After you've logged into the Intune account portal, the next thing that you're going to do is create a verifiable public domain. Again, this is so that when your users log in, let's say with jdempsey@microsoft.com, it's able to go look up that microsoft.com and say, okay, I know that that's pointing to this Intune account, right, this tenant. If you don't have a verifiable public domain, you can still work with that for lab purposes. You can use, what will happen is when you create the Intune subscription, it'll actually create a tenant domain for you, something.onmicrosoft.com. You can use that for lab, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the presentation. And then the last thing that you'll want to do here is make sure that you have a CNAME record created in DNS, which points enterprise enrollment to manage.microsoft.com. Yeah, there's a question. Yeah, so the question is, if you already have Office 365 with an existing DirSync and ADFS, can you leverage that or do you have to go through it again? The answer is that you can leverage that directly. You don't have to go through all the steps again to set that up. So that's a great question. Thank you. So going back to this DNS CNAME record, what's happening is that when you go to enroll your devices, look for enterprise enrollment dot and your domain name, your public domain name. Basically the same domain that's tied to the user that is logging in. So if I'm signing in as jdempsey@microsoft.com, it's going to go look for enterpriseenrollment.microsoft.com. And so if I don't have that CNAME created, then depending on the platform, you may get prompted to enter a server name to be able to connect. Or in some cases like Windows, which I'll hopefully show at the end if my system is cooperating, I'll show that you actually have to go in and modify a registry entry. That's unfortunate. It was kind of a last minute change right before they shipped Windows 8.1. But there's, I'll show it here if I can. And then there's also a blog article where some of our Intune support folks have listed out what the registry key is and how you would set that. So then the next thing you would do is verify your user details. So you can go into your on-premise Active Directory, you can look at the user account properties, and you'll look for user principal name in the list of properties, and you'll verify that the domain that's associated with that UPN is your public domain, the same one that you've configured into an account portal. If those do not match, things will not work. There is a way that you can go through and set kind of universally across all of your user accounts. You can add UPN suffixes within your on-prem AD environment. You can also do that user by user if you want. And here you'll see a link that points to some PowerShell scripts that you can use. I think they're PowerShell scripts that you can use to go ahead and script that process as well if you want to do it that way. One really important thing is that you want to kind of do all of this and verify the UPN suffixes before you go and do your Active Directory user discovery. If you don't, then Configuration Manager is going to have a bunch of discovery information with the wrong UPNs. It's not going to match up with what's in the cloud. And then the user synchronization is not going to find those users. So once we've done all of this, the next thing is to set up Active Directory Federation Services. So I know this is not required. It is strongly recommended. It is the most secure option. It does provide single sign-on capability. And what that means is that your users, when they're authenticating to multiple services within your environment, they'll be able to log on with one credential, and then when they go to access another service, they'll automatically be authenticated against that service as well. There is another option that I'll talk about on the next slide, which is not true single sign-on, but it's same sign-on is what we refer to it as, which is basically you can still use the same username and password, but it's not truly a single sign-on capability. So you would, if you go to additional services, you'd have to continue to enter those credentials again. Yep. So the question is, in Office 365, you can register multiple domains. Can you do the same thing in the Intune account portal? The answer is yes, you can, and I'll show that as well. Okay, so requirements for ADFS. We do require at least ADFS 2.0. A lot of people are moving to ADFS 3.0. There are certainly advantages to always kind of staying up to date on the latest things. They add new features all the time, constantly updating that. In my opinion, actually setting up ADFS is probably the most challenging piece of setting up this unified device management environment. So if you have really good network people that are able to help you out and get that stuff set up, then the rest is going to be a breeze. When I went through and set up a demo environment on my own, I spent the better part of a day setting stuff up, and most of that time was actually going out and getting SSL certificates for my servers and configuring ADFS. And the great news is that if any of you guys went to the foundation session, anyone foundation session yesterday? Yeah. So what you probably saw there was Adam Hall demonstrated a new Azure AD Connect tool that they're going to be releasing later this year, and that is going to greatly simplify the process of setting up DirSync and ADFS for you. So the things that I'm going to show today is basically what's available today, and it is a little more complex. But in the future, we have that to look forward to, so that'll be much easier. So once we've set up ADFS, if we choose to do so, then the next thing is to set up directory synchronization. And this is required, regardless of whether you want to do ADFS or not. Directory synchronization, as I said, is going to synchronize your user information from Active Directory up to Windows Azure Active Directory. So it does have the option, and I don't know if I have this on build. Yeah, I do. So it does have the option in the newer versions of directory synchronization to enable something called password sync. And this is where I was referring to kind of that same sign-on capability. What happens is if you enable password sync, along with the user information, which is really just the user ID plus a handful of attributes that get synchronized. It doesn't normally sync the password, but if you enable password synchronization, it'll take a hash of those user passwords, and it'll sync those up to Azure AD as well. What that means then is that when the users go to authenticate, they're actually authenticating against Windows Azure Active Directory and using that password hash in the cloud to do the authentication instead of being redirected back to your on-premise AD like you would if you were using ADFS. I will note that I believe Office 365, they actually recommend password sync as the way to go, just because it's so much easier to set up than ADFS and has less requirements. But on the Intune side, just for security reasons, we kind of recommend that if you can do ADFS, we suggest that you do that, as well as the benefit of single sign-on capability. So once you set up directory synchronization, it's going to give you the option at the end of the wizard to sync immediately if you want to. Basically, it'll synchronize immediately and then every 3 hours on that schedule. So that is configurable, I found out. I'm not going to give you the details, but there are blog articles out on the internet that talk about how you can change that sync interval if you want it to sync more or less frequently. A couple of things to note, though, is that with if you enable password synchronization, the password information actually syncs more regularly than the regular directory sync. So what will happen is if you have a user that changes their password, it'll pick up that delta change, and it'll go ahead and synchronize that password hash for that user so that it doesn't take 3 hours for the password to take effect. The other thing to note is that because the synchronization period is every 3 hours, if you have, for example, an employee that leaves your organization and you want them removed right away, it's actually going to, you can remove that account from on-prem Active Directory, but then it's going to take up to 3 hours for that to kind of disappear from the service before they kind of lose their access to the cloud. So there is a way that you can force synchronize. And I don't remember if I have that in my demo or not, but basically there's a PowerShell commandlet that you can run from the directory synchronization configuration shell that will allow you to force the synchronization right away if you want to do that. So as I mentioned, ADFS isn't required. DirSync is required, but the password sync part of that is not necessarily required. If you don't use ADFS or password sync, then you will need to go out to the Intune account portal and manually manage passwords. That's not something that we expect people to do in a typical production environment. We've had one or two customers that tried it, lasted about 2 weeks, and then changed to using password sync. There is, again, a link down at the bottom that talks about a PowerShell commandlet so that if you do choose to manually administer passwords for those cloud users, you can do that through a script. So let me show you what some of this looks like. Okay, so the first thing I said is that you would create your Intune subscription. And as I mentioned, you can go to the windowsintune.com website and you can sign up for a subscription here. Here's where you do a trial, here's where you would purchase. Again, if you're a volume license customer and you have that relationship already, they can set that up for you instead of having to come out here. I've actually already set up a tenant for this purpose. So I'm going to go ahead and log into the account.manage.microsoft.com website, which is the Intune account portal, using my tenant ID that I created when I created the subscription. And it would be good if I had the right password. Okay. So this is the Intune account portal. Can everyone see that okay, or do I need to make it bigger? Back of the room? Anyone? Okay. So this is the Intune account portal. This is where you would go in and add your domains. And you'll see here that I've got this onmicrosoft.com domain. That's the one that was created for the tenant at the time that I set up my subscription. And then I also have this other domain that I've added myself, 10f14.ddns.ms. So if you wanted to add additional domains, right, I can go in here and click Add a Domain. And I'm going to put in my public domain.com. And so once you add in your domain name, the next thing it's going to ask you to do is verify that that actually belongs to you, right? We don't want people to be able to go in and just add any domain that they want, because it, that would prevent someone else from having their environment work. So the forms of verification that are available now, in SP1 we only had a TXT record in DNS. Now we actually also support an MX record if TXT isn't available to you for whatever reason. So you would select one of these options, and then it gives you the detailed information down here further on the page for, you know, what do you need to do in order to set up the right DNS record to verify that that actually belongs to you. Okay. So in this case, I don't own that domain, so I'm going to cancel. And you'll see here that it's still in the list because I added it, but it says click to verify the domain. So at this point, since I don't own that domain, I'm just going to select it and remove it. Okay. So once I've set up my my public domain, which is this .ddns.ms, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and verify the user principal name. On-prem Active Directory. So I'm going to jump over to my domain controller, and if I load up AD users and computers, hopefully we can see that here. So I can go to one of my users. I'm going to pick on my manager, Brian Keller. Look at properties, and on account, you can see that he's set up with tena14.ddns.ms. So I already have that available in my list of domain suffixes, and I've made sure that his is set up with the correct domain. I've done that on a few other user accounts as well. The default one, the way that I have it set up, is actually using my internal domain name. If I wanted to set this for all users at one time, I can actually go into AD Domains and Trusts. And from here, I can actually right-click, look at properties, and here's where you would add UPN suffixes. So you can see here that I've added actually two UPN suffixes as alternate UPN, and one is the DDNS public one, the other one is my non-public on Microsoft. Well, it's not non-public, but it's not one that I have control over, right? So I've added the onmicrosoft.com, and the reason I've added that is for lab purposes. I'm going to show that toward the end. Okay. So I've verified the user principal names, made sure that they're set up to use the appropriate public DNS suffix. The next thing that I would do is I would set up ADFS. So let me jump back into the account portal. And if I go to my users tab, so I'll see some users. I'll see my admin user. This is my tenant admin account that was created when I created the subscription. And what I'm going to do is under Active Directory talking about ADFS. So under single sign-on, you would click setup. And then this page is going to walk you through all the steps that you need to do to set up ADFS. So again, this is an optional thing for this particular demo in this environment. I'm not going to set it up because I don't have all the required infrastructure. Typically, ADFS is going to what ADFS is going to require is a server farm for your ADFS, and then typically a web proxy. Allow the traffic to be proxied back into your corporate environment. So I'm going to skip over that for right now, and then I'm going to go back to the previous page where it says Active Directory synchronization, and you'll see this setup link. And similarly, for Active Directory synchronization, it's going to walk me through all the steps that I need to do. Now, one thing that I've already done for now is normally in this step 3, there would be a button here that says activate. You do need to click the activate button to make sure that directory synchronization is allowed to sync to that tenant. That's kind of, again, for security reasons. If you did not activate it, and someone else went and tried to set up directory synchronization to your tenant, it would fail and tell them that you haven't activated that yet. Okay, so I also mentioned that if you choose not to do directory synchronization with password sync or ADFS, then you have to manually administer user passwords. And the way that you would do that is you would simply go in here, select the user, click reset password. I'm not going to do that for right now since I only have the one user. But essentially what that's going to do is it's going to generate a random password and then allow you to email that directly to that user so that they receive that and then can log in and change their password to something that they recognize. Okay. So I do want to show, let me disconnect and reconnect here. So I do want to show the directory synchronization setup wizard or configuration wizard. And this is one of those things that you would have downloaded from the links on that instruction page. So the wizard's pretty straightforward. When I get in here and click Next, the first thing it prompts me for is my tenant ID for my Intune subscription. So I'll put in admin@tena14.onmicrosoft.com. Okay, so that has made the authentication connection to the tenant. And then the next thing that it asks me for is my enterprise administrator credentials for my on-premise Active Directory, which, if I remember correctly, are 3184. Sorry, bad memory. 184928. Of course, I couldn't make it anything easy. And assuming that I type those credentials in correctly, that's going to do the authentication to my on-prem directory. Apparently, I didn't get it right. Oh, I see why. Pardon? I'm using the enterprise admin account. I don't recall the exact requirement for the account, but it does need specific permissions to the on-prem Active Directory. And those are listed in the instructions, but I think it needs schema admin. I'm not entirely sure. So like I said, it should be listed in those requirements of what you need for that account. So the next page after I've authenticated to my on-prem Active Directory is this thing for hybrid deployment. I think that's typically used in Exchange environments. We don't really use that for Intune at all, so we just skip over that. And then here's the option that I was talking about for password synchronization. So it's just a simple checkbox, on or off. It's off by default, so it's simple to just check that box and enable it. And then once configuration is complete, then it'll ask you if you want to synchronize your directory now. And I'll click Finish so that it can go synchronize. Okay, so that's it for the first demo. All right, so once you've set up all of those prerequisites, the next thing that we have to do is go in and configure the objects within Configuration Manager. So the objects that we're talking about are the Intune subscription object, The Windows Intune connector role, which synchronizes between the on-prem config manager infrastructure and the Intune cloud service. And then the Windows Intune service has kind of an object in itself that's not really visible to the admin within the console. The Intune subscription, the first thing that's going to happen is when you go to set that up, it's going to prompt you for your tenant admin credentials. You'll enter those in, and it's going to download a certificate from the service that your connector is going to use for communicating with the service. You'll also need to define a user collection that lists out all of the users that have the ability to enroll devices into mobile device management. We don't suggest typically that you use all users. You probably want to create something like a cloud users or Windows Intune users group. It doesn't matter what you call it, but just something that gives you a little bit of control over who goes in and out. And it's typically something that you'll probably roll out to users in a staged process and eventually have everybody contained within that collection. Then the last thing that you'll do as part of setting up that subscription is basically tell it what platforms you want to enable for enrollment, whether you want to support Windows Phone, if you want Android, iOS, and so forth. The Windows Intune connector role, as I said, that's responsible for communicating between the Config Manager environment and the Intune service. It sends policies that you create within the Configuration Manager console up to the service, and it retrieves messages, state messages, and such back from the service. So up until recently, we didn't have any extensions for Windows Intune. This is something recent that we've added. Those things actually also come down through that same channel. Essentially, when we publish a new extension, it shows up as a message in the queue, and then when the connector connects up to synchronize messages, it pulls those down and says, hey, I have a new extension available. Would you like to install it? And then the Windows Intune service, that piece that I talked about, really behaves like a device management point as well as a cloud distribution point. So from a management point perspective, if any of you are familiar with kind of the older device management that we do directly within Configuration Manager for things like Windows CE and so forth, we had that device management point role that would sit on a management point, and it really serves kind of the same function. It communicates policy to those devices, and it retrieves the status information back from them. So in terms of prerequisites for setting up platforms that you want to enable for enrollment, certificate and key requirements depending on the platforms, for Windows Phone 8 and 8.1, we do require a semantic code signing certificate. And if you're doing it, like an evaluation or a lab environment, we do have an alternative for you. But for production deployments, you would need to go purchase a semantic code signing certificate to be able to deploy the portal, deploy all of your other apps, your line of business apps. For Windows, we require a code signing certificate if you're going to deploy line of business apps. If you're not going to deploy line of business apps, you don't need that code signing certificate. We also have a requirement for sideloading keys. And that's something that you can, again, kind of purchase through your volume license channel. Alternatively, there's a link there that you can go and find other options if you're not a volume license customer. For iOS, the main thing here is that we have to set up a, since we rely on the management service and management profiles from that Apple exposes, we basically rely on their Apple push notification service. And so as such, if you want to enable iOS for enrollment, we need to actually go out and get an APNS certificate, configure that within the subscription, and then that allows the Intune service to communicate with the Apple push notification service for sending out policies and so forth. And then finally, Android. Really easy to set up, no specific requirements for certs, sideloading keys, anything like that. You just turn it on and it's good to go. So let me show what those pieces look like. So starting with the prerequisites. So the first prerequisite that I talked about was setting up a user collection. Yeah. So setting up a user collection. If I go into my assets and compliance node, I can go and look at user collections, and you'll see that I created this Windows Intune users collection. I threw three users in there. That's basically just a static membership, but you could make it dynamic. It doesn't really matter, as long as you have a collection that you can then tie to your subscription. So I've pre-created that. The code signing certificate, I actually don't have, so that would be used for Windows if you're deploying line of business apps to Windows. And then the sideloading keys, actually, I have configured, and that's you'll find that under Software Library, under Application Management, and then Windows sideloading keys. And so you can see here that I've created or I've input one key. You can input multiple sideloading keys. Each key is capable of handling a certain number of activations depending on what you purchased. And you know, you'll see that there's a column here that says activations used. So you can see exactly how many sideloading keys have actually been distributed to various devices within your organization. The reason that we have this node here specifically is that we wanted you to be able to, number one, come back in here and add sideloading keys very easily without having to go into the subscription properties, able to show you kind of the status of the activations on those keys. So the next thing that I've set up is under applications. I've actually gone in here and I've downloaded the Windows Phone 8 self-service portal or company portal app. I've downloaded that and imported that into an application within the console. And what's going to happen is as Windows Phone devices enroll, this will push down to them so that they have that available can then launch the portal and manage their, manage their devices, see what apps are available to deploy, and so forth. All right, and then the last thing is if I jump over to the admin node and look at Windows Intune subscriptions, you'll see that I have an option here to create the APNS certificate request. So this is going to be for the iOS configuration, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create one. And so I'll just enter a name. I'll just call it demo.csr, and then I'll click download. So what this step is doing, looks like I lost control. There we go. What this step is doing is it's actually connecting to the Intune service and getting a certificate request that we're then going to upload into the Apple Push Notification Service portal so that they can send us an APNS certificate. So I'll go ahead and sign in here with my tenant ID. Okay, so at this point it has downloaded that. Then the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to click this link that says Apple Push Certificate Portal. And this is going to take me out to Apple's website and hopefully show something. In this case, for the demo, I'm just using a personal email address that I have for my Apple ID. Typically, you're going to want to use essentially a service ID of some sort. You'll want to use a type of a service ID that you've created for your organization because this certificate does need to be on an annual basis. You never know when the person who set it up might leave the organization, and then you'd need to get back in to be able to renew it. So you probably don't want to use a personal Apple ID for this. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create a certificate. Accept the agreement. And here it's going to prompt me for my certificate request, signing request. And so I'll go where I saved that. And select the demo.csr and upload that. And when I upload that in Internet Explorer, it prompts with a JSON object that you can choose to open, save, cancel, whatever. I typically cancel it. You don't need it for anything. On other browsers, you may or may not see that happen. So once I've canceled that, I'm going to just renew this page. And you'll see that now I have this third certificate that was just created here on May 13th. So brand new one. From there, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to download that. And I'm going to choose to save that out in the same folder where I created the certificate request. So I'll save that. And that's been completed. And so then that's available for me to upload into the subscription when prompted for that later. So now that I've got all of the prerequisites out of the way, I'm going to go ahead and jump back into the console. Close that dialog. And I'm going to go ahead and create the subscription at this point. Or at least I'm going to try. So here we've got the wizard for adding a subscription. And the first thing that prompts me for is to sign in with my tenant ID. And what this is saying, sorry, I'm going to try to change this up so you can see it a little better. What this is basically saying is that you have to set a mobile device management authority that says where is the policy going to come from for your mobile device management. If you go out into the Intune account portal, you'll actually see a link for admin portal or admin console, which takes you into the Intune equivalent of the Config Manager console. And from there, you actually have an option to set the management authority to Intune. If you do that, you will not be able to come back in here and then set the authority to Configuration Manager. So it's a one-time operation. If you have gone out and done that to Intune previously, and then you come in here and try to set it to Config Manager, it's going to fail. You're going to contact our Intune support group. It's kind of a long, I need a new battery or something. There's a long process that you have to go through to unenroll your devices that may be already enrolled, change the authority over, wait a day or two, and then you can re-enroll those devices. So it's really painful. You want to make sure that if you're planning to do a hybrid unified device management configuration, that you don't go into the admin console for Intune and set that authority. So here we're simply just acknowledging that, yes, I understand that. I want to set my management authority to Config Manager. What effect does this have on devices managed? Right. Okay, so the question was a unnamed third-party competitor is currently being used to manage devices. What effect does this management authority setting have on that? There is no correlation between the two. We have no interaction with any other third-party management tools. So,
yeah.
So the question was, what would happen then if policies conflict? Probably bad things. I wouldn't recommend that you have more than one management authority managing your devices.
Yeah. So you don't have a app or application management through IT, where it's targeting an application opposed to the entire device?
So the question was, do we have mobile application management where we're targeting the applications as opposed to the device? What I'm talking about here is simply setting up the environment for managing those devices and users. The session later this week on application management will get into more detail about how we manage applications and what settings we can apply on those applications. You probably saw some of that in the keynote this week, where we showed some things that are coming down the line later this fall, where we'll be able to actually have a managed version of the Office apps for iPad. And so you'll be able to have kind of fine-tuned control over setting those application policies. Okay. So I was able to successfully authenticate with my tenant ID. At this point, it's pulling down the certificate from the service that'll be used for the connector to communicate. And on the next page, it prompts me for that collection that I created already. So I'll specify Windows Intune users for company name. Put in Contoso. You can optionally specify a URL to a company privacy documentation. So if you have specific corporate requirements around, you know, privacy statements and so forth, you can link to that. Change your color to whatever you want here. I'll go ahead and choose. I'll leave it at the nice default Microsoft blue. Then configuration manager site code where you want to assign devices as they get enrolled. So I'll just go ahead and select the first one in the list. Now, the thing I want to point out here with this site is that you can only, within a subscription, you can only have one site specified at a time. So as new devices are enrolled, they will get enrolled into whatever site code is specified here. Now, if you have if you want to change that, you can come into the subscription properties and you can change that later to point to a different site so that newly enrolled devices will go and get assigned to the other site. That will not have any impact or change on existing enrolled devices. They will stay assigned to whatever site they enrolled to originally. Additionally, we've added a new feature in Configuration Manager R2 where you can do reassignment of clients from the console. And that does work with mobile devices as well. So you can actually go in and select a mobile device and say reassign site, and so you can move those to another site if they've already been enrolled previously. Typically, you're probably, in most cases, you're probably of one site to manage mobile device. And so you're probably not gonna go in and change this. Typically, the reason that you might use that is if you have a very large number of mobile devices that need to be spread across multiple sites for scale reasons, and then you may come in here and change that at some point. So here I can select all of the platforms that I want to manage. And I'm actually going to, for now, skip over the Windows Phone 8 one. So again, for Windows, if I want to deploy the line of business apps, I need a code signing certificate here. I'm not planning to deploy any line of business apps, so I have my code signing certificate to put in here. That means that you can still deploy web links or deep links. We refer to deep links. Basically, that's a link into the public Windows App Store. And so you can still deploy those types of applications where you're redirecting them to the public store to download from there. You just can't deploy sideloaded line of business apps without that code signing cert. Sideloading keys, again, I already pre-added them earlier, so I'm not going to add any more here. For the APNS certificate, I'm going to go ahead and browse to the one that I downloaded from the Apple site and upload that. Okay. So actually, let me double check and make sure I selected the wrong one. Sorry. I had a couple of them on here. There we go. So when I select the correct one, everything goes well. It verifies that it matches the certificate signing request. And then here I can specify company contact information, so support website, support IT department contact information, all sorts of stuff that I can put in here. A lot of this is new in R2. Some of the customization was available in SP1, but most of this is available now in R2. And I can specify, if I want to, I can specify a logo, bitmap, JPEG or PNG file that can be displayed within the company portal when users launch that self-service experience. And then you can choose whether or not you want to display your company name next to the icon. Okay, so you'll notice here when I finish the wizard, let me make that a little bigger, that I get this warning. You're going to get that warning every time you set up the subscription, and the reason for that is that now that we've set up the subscription, we're not done yet. We still have to set up that Windows Intune connector role that I talked about. And so this is just warning you that, hey, you need to go take that extra step to install the connector role. We found that early, as we were working with some of our beta customers, that it wasn't obvious, and a lot of people were kind of missing that step, and that's why we put this warning in here. So again, you will see the warning every single time that you install a new subscription, but it's nothing to worry about. It's just informing you of what the next step is. So now that I've done that, I'm actually going to go and I'm going to install that role. And if I go to the servers and site system roles, you'll see that I have this new virtual site system role called manage.microsoft.com. It's not really truly a server that you can put other roles on. This is essentially the representation of that management point, the device management point and cloud distribution point. So when you go and you deploy content for mobile devices, you're actually going to distribute that content to the manage.microsoft.com virtual distribution point. Now to install the Intune connector role, I actually can't install that on manage.microsoft.com. I'm going to go ahead and select one of my physical servers and run through the add site system roles wizard. So here I would just enter any additional information that I wanted to add for the site system. This may actually be too big to do effectively here. If I needed to specify a proxy server, I can set it once here and it applies across all the roles on my site system. In my case, I don't need to specify a proxy, but I do need it to get out of this Zoom mode. There we go. So here you can see the list of available roles, and you'll see that down at the bottom of the list is Windows Intune Connector, so I'm going to go ahead and select that. Next. And there are no special settings that I need to configure for that role. It's just a one click and done. And at this point, my connector role is in the process of deploying to that server. So that kind of completes all of the setup steps at this point. So I'm going to jump back over to my slides. So I talked a little bit earlier about lab considerations and kind of what's different from a production deployment. Things to consider are, first of all, you probably can get away with just signing up for a trial account for Windows Intune, so you don't need to go purchase another subscription for your lab. That is limited to 30 days, so it's really intended for those customers that are just kind of wanting to get familiar with it and get it set up in kind of a proof of concept environment so that they can say, yep, I like it. It delivers all the stuff that I want. I'm going to go ahead and buy it. So when using that trial account, you still do need DirSync enabled. All right, but you don't necessarily need a public domain to configure, right? We can use that on Microsoft.com domain. The catch is that in order to use that on Microsoft.com domain, you need to make sure that you've gone into the domains and trust like I showed earlier, and you've added that into the UPN suffix list. The other thing that I want to point out here is that we have that semantic cert requirement for managing Windows phones, and we've gotten a lot of feedback that, hey, that sucks. I just want to try it out and see if it works. Right? I don't want to go spend $300 or $500, whatever it is, to get that semantic cert. So what we've done is we've delivered this support tool for Windows Intune Trial Management of Windows Phone 8 package. It's available out on the download center. You can go download that. Install it and run through the instructions that are available. And what that'll do is it'll actually go ahead and it'll populate a pre-signed version of the company portal for you, or it'll provide that to you so that you can populate that as an app. It'll then also populate all of the certificate information for Windows Phone. And that's a trial certificate. You wouldn't be able to, since you don't have the actual cert, you wouldn't be able to sign your own line of business apps and deploy those. So you're really limited to just the sample apps that are included with that package. But it is a nice way to be able to get up and test that functionality on Windows Phone without having to purchase a cert. So for lab setup, actually the one thing I want to show on lab setup, I was actually just going to kind of go through the enrollment on one device if it'll cooperate. And yes, that's my dog, Allie. So in here, I've got, if you're not familiar with how to get to this, let me just go back to the desktop quickly. So you can actually go down to the right corner, select settings, and change PC settings. And you'll find this under, let me back out, here's the root of PC settings. So you'll go under network and workplace, and here's where you would be able to do both workplace join and enrollment for Windows Intune Management. The join button here is what you would do for workplace join if you have that additional infrastructure set up within your organization. The turn on button is what you would use for the enrollment for Intune. So what I'm going to do here is first I wanted to show if I try to log in with admin, or sorry, if I try to enroll with admin at tena14.onmicrosoft.com. So again, this is kind of your lab situation, is it, you're using that onmicrosoft.com domain. And what you'll see here is that I click the turn on button and it's telling me that I don't have the correct sign-in info. Well, as I mentioned earlier, this is just kind of one of those unfortunate things last minute right before Windows 8.1 shipped, where we actually don't know how to find the discovery service that tells us where to go to authenticate against our account. So if I go back here to the desktop, and I hope you can see that because I actually don't have the ZoomIt tools on here. But you'll see that there's this path under local machine, software, policies, Microsoft Windows, current version. You may have to create this MDM key. I don't think it exists by default. So you can create that MDM key, and then you can create this string value called directory service. And you would set that to manage.microsoft.com. If I spelled it correctly, that should work. All right, so now if I switch back over to my enrollment UI and I click turn on, at this point you see connecting to workplace, so it's able to look for that manage.microsoft.com address that I just put into the registry. It's going and saying, hey, based off of this UPN that I've provided, I'm going to figure out what subscription I'm authenticating you against, and connecting to a service. And here, now it's prompting me for my password to go along with that tenant ID. So I'm actually going to cancel out of that for now. And I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to use a different ID. And for this one, I'm going to use remember if I have it right, actually. For this one, I'm going to use jim@contoso.ddns.ms. So this is another environment that I have that's already set up. And the reason that I want to show this one is because this one's actually already set up with ADFS. So now when I go and attempt to authenticate, again, it locates the appropriate tenant based on the UPN. And here it's prompting me for my password. Uh-oh, did I get it wrong? There we go, typed it right. So you'll see here that it was able to authenticate me, and in that situation, unfortunately it didn't show it in this experience, I thought it would, but essentially what was happening behind the scenes there is it was actually redirecting to my ADFS infrastructure, and it was authenticating me against my on-prem Active Directory instead of against Windows Azure AD. And so at this point I can agree and click turn on. And if all goes well, that will go ahead and do the enrollment, and then that should show up in my Configuration Manager console as an available manageable device. So, this is the one slide on troubleshooting that I wanted to cover with you guys. I have a number of other slides on troubleshooting that I'm not going to go through, but they are available in the deck for you to take a look at. Essentially, what we did is had one of our testers kind of go through the common failures that they may have seen during the course of their testing or working with other customers and kind of listed out what you might go look at in order to troubleshoot those particular scenarios. But kind of at a high level, the key things to understand are that for troubleshooting user account information, you're going to look at the cloud user sync log, and that's going to show you information about the synchronization of the IDs up to the cloud. That's different than the DIR sync logs. So directory synchronization actually syncs the information from AD, on-prem AD to Azure AD. The cloud user sync is actually configuration manager talking to the Intune service and saying, hey, compare the discovery information that I have about my users with the information that you've got in Intune and only replicate the information for those users that are in that Windows Intune users group that I collection that I created. For policies, you're going to look in DMP Uploader. So essentially, when you create things in the Config Manager console and deploy those to mobile devices, the DMP Uploader service will be making that connection through the Windows Intune connector, and you'll see all of that activity logged in the DMP Uploader log. For registration compliance, that's going to be in the DMP Downloader. So that's the other component of that Windows Intune connector, which is going and pulling messages from the Intune service queue down into Configuration Manager. And you'll see all of that logged in DMP Downloader log. And then finally, for content, there's an outgoing Content Manager log, similar to Distribution Manager, except this is for any mobile device content that's going up through the Intune connector channel up to Azure Storage, which is on that manage.microsoft.com virtual distribution. So here, as I said, there's a number of scenarios that you can go back and look at the slide deck. It'll kind of explain how you would walk through those scenarios for troubleshooting. Now, just to wrap up, how many out there are still on Configuration Manager 2007? Anyone? So decent number of you. So you might wonder, okay, how can I get this today? I'm not ready to do a full migration to 2012 yet. Well, it's actually pretty easy to set up kind of side-by-side environments where you've got your 2007 environment, and all you need to do really to get started on this today is to set up a single server, right? You can set up a Configuration Manager 2012 R2 server, connect that to your Intune subscription, And then when you're finally ready to do a migration, the very first step in migration is to stand up a site in 2012 anyway. So you've already got that 2012 server. It's just a matter of then running the migration process to connect that site to your 2007 infrastructure and pull everything across. And if you need to add additional servers or whatnot, you can expand and add a central administration site and additional primary sites and so forth. So this is, I want to just emphasize that this isn't something that you have to wait for. If you're just because you're not ready to do a full migration to 2012, you can get started on it today. So just a recap of the objectives, right? Better understanding of what the requirements are for setting up the environment and what the actual steps are. I'm going to jump through these slides real quick. The Enterprise Mobility Suite, you've heard a lot about this week. We think it's a great offering that gives you more than just the mobile device management, right? It gives you that Azure AD Premium service for great hybrid identity management, as well as RMS for data protection. And there's a few slides here on related content. Some resources. And finally, please fill out your evaluations. Looks like we've got just a few minutes here. I'll stick around for a while, and if anybody wants to come up and ask questions, I'm happy to receive those questions. So thanks for coming. Hope you have a great tech ed, and we'll see you next time.